Yeah, everybody growl today. Last night, a great night at Dodger Stadium, and there is no curse. Final. End of story. The curse does not exist. There's no such thing as the Mason curse. I was there for it last night, and we won the game. It was a tight early, but ultimately very, very comfortable win over the San Francisco Giants, and we have forced Game 5 in Frisco tomorrow night.
Is it over? Is the curse gone?
Yeah, of course it is.
Why? Because it was one game. It wasn't the game deciding game.
I mean, it could have been the end of their season.
It could have been. Yeah, that's
and
true.
And if they would have lost, we would have blamed him.
Yes.
Yeah, that,
you're right. You're right. You know what? Yes, that was a do or die game. Yes, and they won. Okay, it's gone.
Okay. Before anybody says
although it's
this,
not in the finals.
Before anybody says this, give me 20,000 mythical dollars on the Dodgers tomorrow night with Julio on the mound.
Ooh.
Betting big.
How much money?
20,000 mythical dollars.
Okay. Good.
I feel good about tomorrow night. Now,
you know, you got $40,000 on the line right now.
I know. I'm bet big or go home. Big or go home, man. I got $20,000 on the Rams minus 10.5 on Sunday, and I got $20,000 on the Dodgers beating the Giants tomorrow night, and the Giants crash and burn, and the Dodgers advance to the NLCS. Momo, how you feeling? Are I haven't let you get a word in edgewise.
It's okay.
I mean, I'm excited.
You're fired up. I'm in the studio. I was letting Travis and Sliwa get out of here. Travis is here with his like walrus beard. You know, it's like he's got these gray tips.
What does he have?
Have you seen the goatees growing?
No, I've not seen.
Go
is
on
he
his
wearing
Twitter
a goat?
Feed.
He's wearing a goatee.
Go on Twitter.
It's amazing.
Go on Twitter.
It's full Fu Manchu.
Yeah, it's a Fu Manchu mustache, but it's got gray tips.
Pauly Senior from the OCC. That's what it looks like.
You see it yet?
Go to Travis. There it is. Yeah.
What do you think? I say walrus.
Yeah, I think walrus is a good way to describe it. Yeah.
I think he needs to leave it forever and ever and never shave it.
Why? Because they won last night?
He's not doing it like for the playoffs or anything, is he?
Because it's incredible. He said that they won with it, so he's leaving it forever.
Yeah. It definitely took longer than a day to grow that.
Well, no, he had a full beard.
Okay.
And then he just made it into a Fu Manchu.
Oh.
Theo Travis. Hola, Theo Travis. He's leaving.
He's still right here.
It definitely changes the way I feel about him.
Oh, really? How's that?
Yeah, it's like one of those. You know, like I just kind of thought he was this like, you know, nice guy from the OC dad.
You can be a nice guy from the OC and be a good dad if you've got a Fu Manchu.
Gives him a little edge.
Yeah, no, I like that.
A little edge.
Like that. I bet he gets food stuck in it all the time.
He eats nonstop.
I listen to the Travis and Sliwa show.
He's
and
eating
I'm
all the time.
All he talks about is eating food.
Ooh. You're right. I drove in and they were talking about tacos again.
There you go.
You know what there I think happened? You know what I think happened? He bought your Harley, didn't he, Jorge? He absolutely
maybe,
looks like a biker.
Maybe he sent somebody else out to pick it up. He wanted it for himself.
Do you hear this, Momo? What? Jorge sold his Harley.
Really?
Why?
Yeah. Oh, you weren't here either, Mace.
Oh,
you were
yeah.
Sick. You were sick. That's right. I sold it. I sold it last weekend.
Why'd you sell it?
Because it was just sitting there.
It gave you such an edge on everybody.
Not for the last 4 months. You know, it's just difficult. You know, I have to take the baby in the mornings to her grandma's and pick her up.
You can't really take the baby on the back of a Harley.
Take the baby on a Harley.
Probably not a good
idea. Hold
on. Even if we got the little side wagon, you know.
Stick a car seat on the back of that thing.
Exactly. So I got rid of it, man. But, yeah.
So it's okay. I you know what? I thought it made me, like, think differently of you when I knew you had the Harley. And mm-hmm. Now that you got rid of it, you still have that clout.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, you still have the clout.
You were a Harley owner. It makes me think a certain way about you. Like there's an edge there. I like that.
Yeah.
Come at me.
So
come at me.
Okay, Mace, you were there both nights.
Yes.
One of which was so cold. It was a cold and icy wind.
Yes, it was. It was as windy as, you know what it was like? It was not like San Francisco Oracle Park. It was like San Francisco Candlestick Park.
Yes.
I mean, wind blowing like crazy and swirling and dust in the air.
Did you see the video of Max Scherzer falling over?
Almost fell over, yeah, from the wind.
It was, okay, so I was on Around the Horn yesterday, and I think on Around the Horn you can get away with a statement like this.
Okay.
Okay, I'm gonna speak in Latin. Are you ready? Okay.
Yep.
It's called Deus Ex Machina. That means an intervention from God, hand of God. That wind was.
Did you use that on?
I did. I did.
Really? Did that? Yeah. You must have gotten a
lot of points. I got a lot of points. Yeah. They score you big for big phrases like that, especially if you do a different language. But that felt like some kind of act of God. I've lived in Los Angeles my entire life, Steve. I have not seen wind like that. That this is Santa Ana time of year. Those were not Santa Ana winds.
No.
Those were icy cold winds, bone chilling, knocking fly balls down. I have a crazy stat for you. That fly ball that Gavin Lux hit.
Yep.
106.9 exit velocity with a 22-degree launch angle.
Wow. All right? Get Jeff Passan's tweets also.
I know. But I memorized them too. I'm not reading it off his screen.
Yeah, nice.
106. Nice. There were 106 of those this year. Okay. You know what people hit on those this year? Almost 900.
Wow.
Almost 900. 52
home runs. Well, I'll
tell
you the other thing. Of the 15 balls that were hit 100 miles an hour or more in the game three, 10 of them were hit by the Dodgers.
Yeah, I mean, so ex machina. Learn the phrase. It's a good one.
Okay, I will.
Intervention from God.
It's a little out of my.
It's not that hard. Deus is Latin for God. Okay,
out of my range.
You got it. You can do this.
So, Momo, I don't know if you saw the picture I tweeted out the other night
when I was at game three. Okay.
But I was literally located. The auxiliary press box is located by the left field foul pole.
I saw that. I did see that picture.
Which is insane. Which you might have, I don't even think you're in the same area code as the hitters at that point. You're so far away. So I snuck down.
Yep.
And I first, Jorge and Bergman and Alyssa from our office and her brother, there was an extra seat there. So I was that guy, the guy that snuck in and sat in the seat that wasn't really him. Then the people got there and I decided, okay, I'm just going to stand right behind these guys on that line that says field level only. Press pass, you pretty much get to go anywhere. And you know, you're looking down the aisle, you're looking over people, but I was in the same spot last night. It must be a lucky spot, field level somewhere between, section 3 and section 5. And there's a regular crew there too. Like I saw the same people both nights.
Oh.
So lurking at field level, good seats.
Are you a lurker now, mate?
Stalker.
No, lurker. No, stalker means he's chasing after somebody.
Well,
he's like,
he was looking after us.
He was looking after Jorge, for sure.
He was texting me weird stuff. Seventh inning stretch.
Jorge sat during the seventh inning stretch in game
he texted
three.
Me that.
I think that's very bad luck.
But he hid. He hid.
He was hiding when he texted me this.
And Jorge,
I'm like,
no,
okay, Mace, this is weird. How do you know I'm not standing? He says, I'm right behind you. I look behind me. He's not there. So and then he sneaks out of the pole or the pillar there, and then I see him, and he's like, I see you. And I was like, oh,
or maybe
the
Dodgers just hit better. Like, maybe they just hit better. Do you think that theory is good?
What do you mean they hit better?
In game four, they just hit better.
Well, I mean, I have to tell you, that's like the most obvious. That's not going to win you anything on
around the horn. Yeah,
around the horn.
I knew I was going to lose yesterday, though.
Absolutely, what happened?
We're going to take points away.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, we're taking points away on that one.
Well, I told the story of the cold and icy night, and I got docked points because Sarah Spin was like, oh, I'm from the windy city. Oh, people in LA can't handle any of the weather. And I'm like, no, it was so windy. It was so windy. I was standing outside trying to talk to somebody on the phone, and neither of us could hear each other. We were like, what? I can't hear. It's so windy. I can't hear anything.
What?
Yeah. Yesterday I said, Momo, tell me how stupid this is. I said that game three, windy, doesn't even describe it. Well, no.
I agree with you. It doesn't.
It literally does describe it. It was windy. The statement is stupid.
And here's what was so Deus ex machina about it. Should I just say like super
God,
surreal?
Deus, no, what about
okay,
act of God? Just go with the English.
There
Latin
wasn't
a
consistent
language.
Wind. It was swirling and gusty.
Yes.
And so you can only read it as an act of God when you look at Evan Longoria hits a fly ball to deep left field that wasn't hit particularly harder than Chris Taylor's or Gavin Lux's or anybody else's, and the gust doesn't blow.
Yeah, gust doesn't blow.
Where was the gust?
Well, you know, I thought that the critical game – I don't know. Why are we talking about game three? Game three is over.
Yeah, you're right.
Game three is done. We're going into game five. This is it. This is for everything.
Julio and Logan Webb.
What a matchup.
Two 109 win teams. 109 wins. Only baseball game played on Thursday night.
These teams, I wrote this down, they have played 19 times now during the regular season and the playoffs. The Giants have now won 12, and the Dodgers have won 11.
Do we know what the runs for and runs against are? Like, I think it was really close in the regular season.
No,
but I
who
think,
am I? Baseball reference? I'm just going to spit that it. Out at you.
Well, you.
It was really close. I don't know the exact
but
numbers.
But now the Dodgers have, you know, the two games the Dodgers won.
They won big, yeah. So they're up. Was it, we figured this out earlier, Mace. Was it 16-9 in favor of the Dodgers right now?
Yeah, they scored more runs. Exactly. The Giants now in this series have
scored four runs, two runs, one run, two runs.
So they've only scored 9 runs in the 4 games so far.
Mace, we got a problem.
What?
Carlo is tempting fate.
How?
The ESPN Los Angeles Twitter handle says. Yeah. Oh. So how much credit does Venice Mace deserve for the Game 5 win?
What do you mean for Game 5?
That's what I'm saying.
How do I have anything to do? I'm not going to San Francisco. No, I was kind of toying with the idea of going to San
Francisco. But you
Francisco
didn't go
for game
to
five.
The other game, so you know.
I've been at every one of the home games.
Right.
I've been at both of the home
games. But he said
games.
Game 5. It's clearly a mistake. He meant Game 4. But, like, did he jump the gun? Is that a good thing? Or is he speaking it into existence? Is he secreting it? Is it like, I don't know. This is throwing me off here.
Yeah, I think he wrote this wrong.
He wrote it wrong,
but now it's there. You can't unsee it.
He wrote it. So how much credit does Venice Mace deserve for the Game 5 win?
Carlo,
not
delete.
Five.
Delete now, Carlo.
Now it's like a butterfly effect. Now if you delete it, now it's like, well, what if it was good juju? What if you were putting it out, speak it into existence, and now you're deleting it?
Carlo, don't
Carlo,
delete.
Carlo.
Don't delete.
Carlo, delete. No, don't delete.
Don't delete.
I don't know what to do.
Yeah. I'm confused.
Throw up a blade of grass, and if the gust of wind blows it out, keep it.
Yeah.
And if the gust of wind knocks it down, delete it.
You've been so existential.
I would describe last night not as windy, but breezy.
Breezy, but not gusty.
Not gusty.
And not icy gusty. And chilly.
Exactly. And, of course, tomorrow night, Game 1 winner Logan Webb, who threw over 7 innings of shutout ball in Game 1. He forced 11 ground balls with 10 strikeouts. Now, here's the thing. Dodgers got to, now that they saw him once, they got to go to the plate with a plan, right? They got to. He was throwing, he's basically a two-pitch pitcher. It's changeup and it's slider, and it's occasionally a fastball. And they were swinging at stuff off the plate, down at right-handers, down and away in that last game. They were chasing. That was one of the worst examples the Dodgers have had this year, or best example of the Dodgers chasing this year. They traditionally, during the course of the season, were one of the best teams at not chasing, and that's exactly what they did with Logan Webb. They need to go into tomorrow night's game with a better plan.
I mean, how many times have they seen Logan Webb this year? How many times have
Once
the Giants...
Once again, I am not baseball reference.
Like, they've seen him. You know, they've seen him. You clearly have enough of a book on this guy.
Yep.
You should have a plan of attack. There's no mysteries anymore. You've seen everybody in the bullpen. I did think it was good that the Dodgers didn't throw Kenley Jansen last night.
Me too.
Once it was no longer a save, you didn't need him. And, you know, the Giants have seen him a million times, but why give them one more look before a decisive game?
I was surprised, by the way, that Dave Roberts put Alex Vesia into a relatively close game. You know, I would have thought Knebel there instead of Vesia. I mean, Vesia did the job. Phil Bickford is kind of a cleanup guy at this point. He was good in the ninth inning, but he's kind of a cleanup guy.
Yeah.
But to see Vesia in a high leverage situation, I was surprised, because I think the high leverage guys are Kenley, Knebel, Trinan, and Joe Kelly.
Hey, we got our stats and information over there.
ESPN
okay,
stats in front. Do-do-do-do-do-do. You got the thingy there?
No. It's not breaking news. Right.
Anyway, so Logan Webb has faced the Dodgers 4 times now, including in the postseason. He has not given up more than 2 runs in any game. The first game in May, he gave up 2 runs, 1 earned. In July, at Dodger Stadium, he gave up 2 earned runs. Then again in July, up in San Francisco, 1 earned run. And then, obviously, the nun in the last game.
Yeah, the nun. Oh, yeah, there you go.
Oh, thank
there's
you. Afterwards works
stats.
Just as well as before. It's totally fine.
Yeah.
So 5 total earned runs in 4 games.
And, of course, how do you not feel good about Julio Urias being on the mound tomorrow night?
20-game
winner, only 21-game winner in baseball. We saw what he did last year during the postseason. Mm-hmm. The Dodgers have won his last 12 starts, including Game 2, and they have averaged, when Julio is on the mound, seven runs per game. They score for Julio Urias for whatever reason. The Dodgers' bats are generally really hot when Julio Urias is on the mound.
That becomes something, even though there's actually no correlation that should cause that. Okay, it. I think it does. Like, I think when you just have it a season long of really good run production for a certain pitcher, and it goes the other way too. There's always the guy who like you don't score any runs for, and he, you know, it's like Jacob DeGrom every time, right? It's like he'll be the. What was his record when he won the Cy Young?
Yeah, he's like 12-13 or something.
Oh, by the way, we've now messed with the space-time continuum.
How's that?
They deleted?
Carlo has deleted the tweet.
Oh, no.
And replaced it with a Game 4 win.
It's out there still.
No, it's gone forever now.
No, it's not.
He effed it up. People retweeted it and people responded to it. It's out there. It's
how much credit does Venice Mace deserve for the Game 4 win is the new tweet.
Well, I mean, a lot.
All of it?
Carlo, I need to know something. Did you throw the blade of grass up and have the gust blow it out? Because that is what I said should be the determining factor. Did the gust of wind blow?
I don't believe he's throwing.
This is how superstitious people are right now. Do you know what everybody's
actually,
like
the
watching
way,
these games?
Bergman's yelling rap. Yeah.
Carlo.
When you get caught up and you throw a blade of grass up in the air.
Do you ever have so many superstitions that you forget one, and then when you realize you forgot it, but then the good thing happened, you're like, oh, okay, cool.
No,
I didn't screw it up.
So many superstitions happened last night. I'm sure for everybody. Actually, that's interesting. What is your superstition? What is your thing? I've got a number of things that I do that I believe bring the Dodgers luck. And I did something interesting last night. Also, I was very disappointed by somebody I saw leave the game early last night. Very disappointed. We got all that coming up for you. Plus, we've got the latest on the Gruden thing. There are continuing to be things like that. Momo, you were at the Lakers game last night, right?
I was, yeah. I was at the Lakers game.
So we'll talk a little bit about that game. The Big Three finally got on the floor together. All that stuff coming up for you. Mesa in Ireland, this is the place to be today, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
By the way, love that Rams All Access show with J.B. Long and DeMarco Farr. They talked to everybody from the team, talked to Kevin Demoff, talked to Les Snead, talked to Coach McVay. Really, really good. By the way, it's Wednesday. Is today we talked? Did we talk to McVay today, Greg?
Really good question. I will find out.
Really good question. I'm the producer, and I'm not sure.
Should have had that already known by now, but
yeah,
I don't.
Probably should have. So Momo's in for John today. Okay, let me start with this. Do you realize that in this series with the Giants, there has not been a lead change?
What?
The team that has scored once first has won all
four
times. No lead changes. So getting a lead is really important in this
series. That is something.
You just don't see it, right?
No, I've never heard that.
Score first and win.
Wow.
And by the way, the Dodgers have an unbelievable record when they score first, and the Giants have an unbelievable record when they score first. So it holds up. No lead changes so far in this series. So luck, superstition. We've talked a fair amount of it about this because I get very superstitious, especially during the baseball playoffs, more than anything else. There's something about the baseball playoffs. It feels like it's a moment-to-moment sort of event, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're moving from moment to moment. And I will change my positioning in the house based on those moments. So I always start watching the game by being in bed. It's actually my favorite place to watch TV is being in bed. But even in bed, I wear a Dodger hat. I've got sort of this mesh back Dodgers hat.
Okay.
That I've been wearing as good luck for a while now. And I wear it even in bed. Then if that's not working, I go to the couch and watch it on the big screen out here. And if that doesn't work, I go to the floor. Now, I tried everything in game one, and it didn't work. And what I decided was that there's a finite amount of luck in each of your lucky things, right?
Oh.
So there's only so much luck, and the luck will run out. It's like think about a carton of milk. Ultimately, you pour out the carton of milk, and it's empty. I think my mesh Dodger hat was empty of any luck. So I bought a new Dodger hat last night, the more traditional gray hat with the blue bill and the traditional Dodger, and I think it was part of the success.
Mace, do you think there's a like a slot machine? You know how like you hit a slot machine and it has like you go on a run and then all of a sudden it's over, and then like you got to get up. You can't just keep doubling down on that machine. You
got to get up
when it's done. It's done. The luck has run out.
Excellent example. It's like a slot machine. Yes. The other thing I wanted to say, I was lurking between section 3 and 5 at field level, and there's the lurking music. And what I found is it's really, really hard to eat helmet nachos while standing.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, you think?
It is really, really tough to hold that and still not, you know, still struggle with the jalapenos and the cheese and all that. But helmet nachos are part of the luck. Part of the success is helmet nachos.
So until they're not.
Until they're not, exactly.
How are you going to know? Like, do you cut them off after a fourth inning? Because, I mean, this is like a one-game series now. Do you give it the whole game? How do you know?
It's true. It's hard. It's hard. I think everybody does that. For whatever reason, more in baseball. Actually, in football, it does for me, too. The NBA moves so fast that I don't necessarily change luck things when I'm watching NBA, but football for sure, Major League Baseball playoffs for sure. Those are like the critical ones that luck. Now what is your superstition, Jorge? Did you wear your Urias jersey yesterday?
I did not. I didn't go home yesterday.
You didn't go home?
No, I didn't go home. So after,
but you
show,
say you started at the beginning of the day.
Right, but I wasn't wearing anything yesterday. Just my Dodgers hat yesterday. That's it.
Dodgers hat. And what about
he
you?
He had other Bergman? Clothes, too. It wasn't just the Dodger hat, just to be clear.
Yeah, just to be clear. Just
what about you, Bergman?
I was wearing a Vin Scully t-shirt yesterday that I got from shopvinscully.com, and it won, so I'm going to wear it again.
You know what? Vin I got Scully stuff from vinscully.com.
Did you?
Yeah.
How long did it take you?
Like a month and a half.
Yeah, it took me that long, too. I
you
forgot
think
about
Vin
it.
Is
I forgot,
stuff
too, yeah.
Himself? Do you think Vin's at the
UPS I got
store?
One that said it's a high fly ball, the deep right, that one.
Yeah.
And then I got another one that said like Vin Scully, or it was just like, you know,
it's time for Dodger baseball.
Yeah,
I got some
Vin Scully merch because it's Vin and I love Vin.
You have to. There's
and,
no choice.
But it
in
took
the
forever. And then all of a sudden I got a shipment notification that said, hey, your Vin Scully merchandise is on the way. And I was like, oh, that's right.
Exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same thing.
I think like, it might be lucky. Like that. Maybe it just arrived just in time.
Right for the playoffs. I like it. That's why we have to continue wearing it.
Give me the Seinfeld here.
I don't have it yet.
I don't have it.
On.
But
I'm on the wrong page.
See, mate, that's what happens when people want to push buttons. You see that? We're not in sync.
Yeah, we're not.
Not
you
got to
put me up louder so you can actually hear it. Put me up louder, Jorge,
once
please.
Once I get there, we'll be in sync. Once I can
hey,
get back.
All I know is that Travis and Sliwa were both here. You know?
Okay, here's what I want to do. I want to spin the wheel of questions because then I like to ask the question of Coach Sean McVay, who's going to join us coming up here. So let's spin the wheel of questions right now. It is brought to you by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. If you've been, if you've got a car just sitting around, you can take it to Puente Hills Toyota for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. All right, give it a spin. We may have done this question before, but I think it's a good question for McVay. Would you prefer to be blind or deaf? Would you prefer to be blind or deaf?
I don't like these questions.
Repeat the question, please.
Would you prefer to be blind or deaf?
I guess deaf. Because I feel like I would still see what's going, like if I could see, but I couldn't hear, I could do sign language.
You know what? I'm going to kill that question. I don't like that question.
I don't like that question.
Spin it again, Jorge.
I know. I was like, what is this question?
Wheel really landed on a terrible it. Question, yeah, Wheel.
That's real, a bad question.
Respin.
This is a good one.
Okay.
How many times during the day do you look at yourself in the mirror
and say, damn? Oh.
That's a good question. You know what? The older I get, the less I look.
Really?
Yeah.
You've kind of given up on looking. Now, you're on TV all the time.
I know.
You must be like in front of a mirror. When
no, it's terrible. Can I tell you, I just had a very insecure making experience. So we were doing rehearsals for the new NBA today, this week.
Yeah.
And I'm on set. And, you know, usually when I'm on set, we're behind a desk. So I don't need to worry about my shoes. I don't need to worry about my pants. I mean, I literally wear like active leisure pants.
Okay.
Okay, because you can't tell. They look good. And I'll wear like sandals. Greg, you see me. I come in here and wear sandals.
Yeah,
like, whatever.
As you should.
As I should.
So what's different about the new NBA?
Oh,
today,
gosh. So? I'm sitting in the chairs and everybody I'm on the set with is like amazing and beautiful and in shape. And they want to, you know, show their heels off. And I'm like, oh, God, I got to like try.
So
now you got to
dress up.
And we were doing this one shot that was like we're sitting in the chair. And there's really no good way for me to sit in a very short chair. I kind of just look like I'm all scrunched up like a little taco or something, you know, like
right,
I'm just
right.
I don't know what I am. I can't, the chair is too big for me and too small for me at the same time. So like, do you cross your legs? Do you sit up tall? Do you lean back? What looks better? What looks worse? None of them look good.
Right.
None of these angles are good for me.
So how many times do you look at yourself?
So I would say probably I just stop looking. I would say five total.
That's a lot.
Well, like, I mean, when I brush my teeth in the morning and at night, that's two.
That's kind of narcissistic, looking at yourself
five times in a 24-hour period. Well, a lot of it's unintentional. Like, I put my contact lenses in.
Yeah.
Okay. I got to look in the mirror.
Bergy, what about you?
So, I don't look very often. It's probably only, you know, at least twice because of brushing your teeth. But then I have noticed that maybe like once or twice at other times during the day. But then I stop and I like check things out. Like, how's my beard looking? Like, how, you know, I'm actually, I look.
I make sure
important.
My makeup isn't all over my face all the time.
Right. Yeah. Like, you
how's
just stare for just a second
looking?
And be like, all right, that looks even.
Nothing
that looks
weird.
Good. Okay.
I go on set, I always go, nothing weird. And I look myself in the cell phone camera. And sometimes,
oh,
you know.
You're one of those people.
Yeah.
You look at yourself in the cell phone.
That's not a mirror, so that works.
It's theoretically a mirror.
I mean,
it's 21st century version.
Right,
we're getting
Jorge,
very existential again.
I'm like Bergman. Just when I'm in the restroom brushing my teeth or whenever I go to the restroom here, there's mirrors in there.
I swear to God, I avoid it.
Yeah.
I avoid it. I mean, I look at the mirror one time in the morning, and that's it. The rest of the time, I avoid mirrors. I have no interest in seeing myself.
I agree.
I don't dress well. You know, I've got the silver hair now. Although I think the silver hair is kind of slick.
Yeah, that looks
sometimes
cool.
When I put my vest on, my puffy vest on,
your
I like
puffy
to look
vest.
At myself in there.
Can I tell you? I think people are really. I think this has really been exacerbated by the pandemic too. Like, people have just been home. Like, people have just been home, and like, then you got to get dressed. And you got to, like, put some shoes on and, like, look in the mirror. Like, there's no reason for you to look in the mirror. If you're just at home all day and, like, the only people you see are Juan and the Starbucks barista.
Yep, that's basically
it. Like, what are you worried about?
That's really it. All right, I'm going to take a break. We got Coach McVay coming up. We'll put that question to him. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, Mason in Ireland, what is going on? We're getting you ready for game number 5, Giants versus Dodgers, tomorrow night at Pac-Bell Park, they call it. Or no, Oracle Park now they call it. Dodgers coming off a win last night, an impressive, solid win over Anthony DeSclafani, who lasted. Basically, Gabe Kapler used every single player he had. Everybody that was available played, even Kirk Casale, their backup catcher, was a pinch hitter in that game. I thought his shuffling of pitchers was too much last night, and it didn't pay off. He used absolutely everybody. He kept Gausman, who could have thrown last night conceivably. Gausman is now available for tomorrow night if they need to go to him at some point and give them and stretch some innings after Logan Webb if he has any trouble. But I thought Gabe Kapler's managing was sort of all over the place last night. You know, the Dodgers are analytically driven. I think Gabe Kapler is the most analytically driven manager in baseball. All right, joining us right now is the head coach of our Los Angeles Rams, Coach Sean McVay. Coach, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Everything is good. So we were just kicking around a question. I'm curious from you. You're a sharp-dressed man. How many times a day do you look at yourself in the mirror?
Every time I go to the bathroom.
That's it, bathroom.
You know what? I mean, I don't know that I could really count that. I don't know that I think about it too much. I'm probably looking in the mirror a lot more in the off season than I am during the season. So I'm more worried about seeing a good product on the field, but it's not bad to look okay too. So, you know, as I have a bowl of Campbell's chunky soup, you know, I'll take a look in the mirror.
There you go. There you go.
You obviously haven't seen the commercial, have you?
I haven't. Do you have a chunky soup commercial?
It was a sorry ass attempt at humor. I apologize.
Oh, you don't have to apologize,
to me.
Coach.
Explain it. I think it's
I have sorry
I'm in the
ass
Campbell's chunky soup commercial. Go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to mess up your flow.
Yeah.
You guys
No. You didn't. Yeah. I believe me. I have sorry ass jokes all day long. That's really my job.
I know,
here,
but
coach.
That was. But like, he made a joke, and I'm sure it's very funny if we got it, and we're like the idiots who don't get it. Sorry,
yeah,
coach.
I think it's on
sorry.
Us, coach.
On us.
I think it's on us. By the way,
yeah,
how many hours a day do you work during the season?
It just depends on the day. I mean, you know, some days, you know, they end up being, you know, 12 to 15 hour days, and then others a little bit shorter. I'd say the heavy lifting days are kind of your Monday through Thursday, and then Friday and Saturday is just kind of tightening up the screws, and then Sunday's obviously when we play. But typically, you know, the heaviest days are the Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursdays for the coaches typically.
Tell me how playing Thursday helps you get ready. So you're playing early in the week. How much does it help that you get the extra couple of days to get ready for the Giants?
You know, it just kind of depends how you want to utilize it. Sometimes if I have more time, then it ends up being, you know, you kind of do too much. And so try to be intentional about getting a little bit of rest, kind of getting caught up on sleep. You know, being able to pack all those, you know, those days of preparation into a short amount of time, kind of need to get refreshed and rejuvenated. And so you do get a little bit of a jump on the Giants, but it doesn't make much of a difference. More than anything, it's good to just kind of get a couple days to spend some time with your family, look at yourself, you know, from a self-scout standpoint, and then be able to, you know, kind of get into a normal rhythm and routine starting on Monday.
Hey, so coach, you guys are 4-1 now. It's obviously, you know, a good start record-wise, but when you're looking at particularly the defensive side of the ball, is there something where you can clean up some of the big plays that have been given up, right, the explosive plays?
Yeah, I think there's things that we can clean up in all three phases without a doubt. You know, each of those, you know, explosives that you're referring to kind of has a different narrative. If there was one all-encompassing fix, feel good about it. I think, you know, the best thing about football is it takes all 11. It's the greatest team sport there is. There's a lot of things that we want to be able to do, especially defensively, kind of seeing things as one, whether that be how we fit runs, how we defend pass concepts. I think, you know, when you're defending the pass, you know, your rushing coverage always goes together. And so there's a lot of different reasons for some of those things, all of which I do believe, and I'm optimistic that they're fixable. We've got the right guys. We've got the right coaches. And I'm excited about our opportunity to attack, kind of getting those things cleaned up and playing at a high level, really, in all three phases as a team, trying to attack our fifth win this weekend.
So what about going back? Everybody always talks about going back east and playing in this early window. Does that mean anything?
No, it doesn't, because I think it's about being able to be ready to go. You know, we try to make sure that we're peaking at our best in that 3-hour window that we're guaranteed. I think our guys typically have responded in the right way. They've been ready to go, whether we're playing at home, away, different time zones. Did the same thing against Indianapolis a few weeks ago, and I expect us to be able to handle it accordingly against the Giants this week.
Loss of Darius Williams. How big a blow is that, and who steps up now?
Yeah, it's a big loss. Darius is a great football player. He's done a lot of really good things for us, but you know, I think there'll be a lot of different things that we look into. I don't know that there's you don't really necessarily say there's one person that fills that void, but you know, we'll figure out based on the different personnel packages that we want to implement. You know, I think the first guy that immediately comes to mind when you're talking about playing with two corners, Robert Rochelle, is a guy that's going to step up. I think he's handled a lot of the action that he's seen as a young rookie very well. I think he's learned from both the good and the bad. I like his mental makeup and his physical makeup, and looking forward to seeing him really assert himself as a good player for our football team, especially in the weeks to come.
Giants have a bunch of injuries. Daniel Jones has the concussion. Mike Glennon is their backup. Saquon Barkley is out. Kenny Golladay didn't play last week or didn't left the game last week. Do all those injuries make a difference in how you prepare for a game?
That's a part of it. But, I would expect us to see Daniel Jones. They're getting some pretty good players back off injury. And Sterling Shepard and Darius Slayton. It looks like Golladay might be out. But, Kadarius Toney as a rookie is really making his presence felt. Evan Ingram's a really good football player. So they've got plenty of weapons offensively. They've got a lot of different guys and personnel groupings that they can activate on defense. They're really violent in the kicking game. In terms of special teams and their coverage and their return outfits, and it's going to be a great challenge. I don't care what the record is. This is a really well coached team. They're competitive. They've got good personnel, and we got to be ready to go.
Okay, I'm looking at the Chunky Soup commercial, and now I get the joke, Coach.
I know it's one of those deals where I say, "Is this thing on?" I said, "If you have to explain a joke, it's too late."
I know.
Yeah, probably is. Probably. But I just watched the commercial. I totally get it now.
I totally seen the commercial now. I just,
It's a little Madden rating on my social awareness on a sorry attempt at a joke. I apologize. It won't happen again.
You know what my problem is? I watch the Red Zone.
We live on bad jokes.
I just skip around every game. We don't see the commercials as much, right?
Yeah. Hey, listen, Coach, we appreciate you coming on as always. Good luck at the Meadowlands. We're excited for this game. Whose house? Rams house. Make it Rams house on Sunday.
I'll be better for us next week.
All right, good. We're looking forward
to
that, Coach.
Dodgers Giants, game 5.
Oh, yeah. Dodgers Giants tomorrow night. What do you think?
Let's go. I'm Dodgers all the way. Dave Roberts is my man. Let's go get it done. I have all the faith and confidence in those guys.
Awesome, man. All right, Coach, thanks a lot. We appreciate you coming on.
Okay, thanks, guys.
All right, there's Coach Sean McVay. The joke, now I get the joke.
We suck. Yeah, we suck.
It was really on us.
It was on us.
A little rough.
Do you think it was on us?
Yeah, no, definitely.
Bergman?
Yeah, you should have seen the commercial.
Sure.
I've seen it, but I always fast forward through commercials now.
Yeah, we're always watching the Red Zone now.
Yeah,
and you don't really get commercials on the Red Zone.
Yeah.
And, of course, I'm at the Rams game, so
I know.
I never see the commercial then.
I don't know. I mean, it is kind of all over the place. It's funny, too. He's driving down on his golf cart. Yeah.
I want to know if
he was good. Yeah, he was actually good.
He was good. Yeah. He totally has a whole career if he wants to. He could be like, how John Madden was always in commercials?
Yeah.
Like McVay could be in commercials. He's like a caricature.
Yeah. No, he can
totally be that guy. Yeah. Totally be that guy. I like that we're in the past, we've sort of had Robo McVay. We're trying to loosen up a little bit in those conversations. I think it's actually really working.
Yeah, and he actually was loosening up, but you guys missed it.
Because
we didn't. Damn right I am.
Yeah, the joke.
Damn right I am.
All right, coming up next for you, two things. We want to talk about the big three being on the floor last night at Staples Center. Momo was there for that game. Plus, it's Halloween candy time, and there is a PSA floating around on Nextdoor about what you should be giving away, and it's specifically for the neighborhood of Rancho Cucamonga. I got that coming up for you, too. Mesa in Ireland. Momo is in for John, 710 ESPN. It's kind of bad luck to not stand for the seventh inning stretch. Oh, there's the stalker song. Everybody thinks of this as a love song. This is a stalker song.
How do you not stand for the seventh inning stretch?
Yeah, what's going on there?
I was eating my nachos and whatnot.
Stand up.
I know, but it's such a highlight of the game.
Mace just said it's tough to eat nachos and stand up. I'm not going to do it.
It is, but like you can just pause for a minute.
But I had just gotten back to my seat.
So here's
patience, my friend.
So I was one time sitting in the lower seats, right? And I was sitting behind Tom Hanks, Rita Wilson, and Colin Hanks.
That's pretty good.
The three of them. And when the seventh inning stretch came, they put their arms around each other and swayed back and forth while they were singing Take Me Out to the Ball
That's
Game.
Awesome.
And I'm like, that is so friggin' Tom Hanks.
It is.
Like, that's what you would expect Tom Hanks to do.
That's so true.
You know who left early last night?
Who?
And I don't know if she always does or not. Mary Hart.
Really?
Mary Hart, who you can always see in shots during the game.
Yeah,
she left
right
early last
home.
Night. Wanted to beat the traffic. Yeah. I thought she was a deeper, more intense fan than that. than to leave early. Like, I can't leave a playoff game early under any circumstances.
It was a pretty big lead.
It was. I still am not leaving. I'm not leaving.
You know what, Mace? I used to be like you, but it just kind of depends on how busy I am. Like, if I have a lot going on. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
I just poured the Coke in there, and you can just hear the fizz.
No, it's not just the regular Coke, Momo. It's a Mexican Coke.
Oh, I know. It's so good.
Man. Nice.
So much better. Because they use real sugar, right? That's the whole
thing. Yep.
That's
the
open it.
Yeah.
I got a Sprite here, and I don't know.
I got you.
Okay, because I can't open.
Figured out how to open things. That's like one of the world's greatest sounds is the fizz as a when you pour a Coke, right?
Yes.
I have left early. I am not proud, but I am practical. And there are times when I do not want to sit for an hour and a half in the parking lot afterwards. There are times when I have to get up early. I have work to do to get home. Like, there's just times I choose me. And I won't do it if it's a close game. I will not do it if it's, you know, if it's something I'm going to regret later. I feel like my presence is needed.
Yep.
But if I feel like they got it, I can go. And, you know, if the worst happens and they lose a six run lead or something, I don't think that's my fault.
Jorge, you never leave the game early, do you?
Never. Yeah. Uh-uh.
Yeah. And Bergman, do you leave early?
I never, ever. Anything.
Yeah, I can't leave early. Especially a playoff game, I can't leave early.
I have left a UCLA game when they were down by like 40-5 or something like that.
Now,
what's weird is I never leave a Rams game early. I never leave a Dodgers game early. But I will often go to a Lakers game just for the first half.
Yeah, you do that a lot. I went for the first half yesterday. I left early. Because I had been gone all day. I was so tired. And I just wanted to get home. And I had a lot of work to do. And I was like, you know what? I saw enough. It was good.
Yeah,
they look good. I mean, they weren't going to play the second half. It's preseason. It wasn't. They were going to play the second. I got there so early so I could see everyone pregame. You know, it was.
So the big three were on the floor for the first time. LeBron played 26 minutes. Westbrook played 28 minutes. 30 minutes for Anthony Davis. Wound up losing the game. Here's what LeBron said after the game.
That is going to. It's going to take a minute for us to become the team that we know we're going to be capable of being. You know, it's all about, you know, just working the process, being patient with the process, understanding that we're going to have frustrating moments. We're going to have moments where we're quite right there. We may take a step backwards, but, you know, that's all part of, I think nothing is worth having if it's not worth working for. And I think we're going to hit some moments where we feel like we're right there, but we're not quite there yet. And that's what, I mean, anytime you have a new team and a whole new core of guys, it just takes a little minute. So understanding that and always repeating that to the guys, you know. And the best thing about us, we have just like this open communication that we able to, okay, let's figure it out right there on the fly, okay? How can we be better the next time? And our film session is going to be very key. Our shoot around is going to be very key. And then our preseason games, what we're doing, but whatever. And even in the regular season, to start the season, there's going to be opportunities for us to learn on the fly. So just get better with that every game.
So, Momo, I am not convinced. I'm one of the people that is not convinced that the pieces are going to fit perfectly. I worry about the Westbrook piece just because I've seen him. You know, I saw him in Houston where he didn't get along with Harden. There's a huge ego there. Is he going to be willing to accept a lesser role? Did you see anything last night? And obviously they lost the exhibition game, whatever. But did you see anything last night that suggests it's going to work or it's not going to work?
It's not so much last night. Last night, I think when you watch this team, they have so many people out right now. There's a lot of Wayne Ellington's out, Malik Monk's out, like all
Steph Curry didn't play last night.
Steph Curry didn't play. Like, it's just, you know, it was nice to see LeBron and Anthony Davis. Like, it was nice to see them on the court all together. But the thing that I think defensively, you're going to see more issues than offensively. Because offensively, LeBron and AD know how to play together already. The only question is integrating Westbrook and then the people around them. But LeBron and AD are really the heart of that offense. And they already know what they're doing together. So that side, I think, is going to come faster than the defensive side. They really have a lot of turnover defensively. Like, they just, there's a lot of new guys out there, and especially fast break defense in transition, where that happens, hence the name fast break. That happens fast, right? So you don't have time to talk to each other and react. You just almost have to have a muscle memory, and you can only get that through playing together a lot. But I'll tell you what, Mace, on Monday night, I went to the premiere of Russell Westbrook's movie. Okay, it's this documentary. It's called Passion Project or Passion.
Nice. Where's it going to air? Where's it playing?
It's on Showtime, coming out on the 15th. What day is
that? Okay, cool.
So it's this week, right? 15th?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
15th,
what day
it's Friday.
Friday. Okay. I really liked it, first of all. I didn't know if I would like it because I was like, what's this going to be about? Like, just Westbrook's life and story and stuff. But there's a lot of drama there. There's a lot of, I mean, he's been through some things. But what else? This is the part, there's two parts that jumped out at me. Number one, the whole team was there. This is a Monday night in Westwood, a cold and icy wind. It was a nice theater. It was one of those iPix theaters, probably like $35 a seat.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I like the iPix. Yeah, those are cool. Clark runs those.
Yeah, those are cool theaters. You know, they had nice appetizers and stuff. You did a COVID test when you walked in. It was all perfectly done, okay?
Yeah.
But still, it's like a three-hour time commitment on a Monday night. And all of the Lakers were there. Like, that's a big show of support. LeBron showing up. I mean, I know it's close to his house, so in Westwood.
Boy, that's a lot of star power. Because their theaters are on the small side.
Yeah, they're pretty small. Well, they had them, you know how they have like separate rooms, so each theater had about 15 seats in it.
And they've got like the recliners, right?
Yeah, and the recliners, and they were all socially distant. They had waiters coming around taking your order and stuff. And
nice.
So anyway, but I thought that was a pretty big show of support for a guy who just got here on a lot of, you know, Mace, you would have shown up and left, right? Like, you would have shown up.
No, I love a good movie.
You would have watched it.
I love movies, yeah.
Okay, so that was number one that jumped out at me. And what that speaks to is this desire that you've seen from a lot of the veterans on this team, especially, to put the time and energy and work into developing chemistry, showing support on and off the court, making this work. When you have people who are already, I mean, that's a pretty big sacrifice.
Sure.
3 hours to go, you know, show up and do the schmooze and watch the thing. And I mean, the Dodger game was on. I was like watching it on Game Tracker while the movie was going on. Like, it was, but that, I'm just a lowly reporter. These are NBA players who have a lot to do.
Sure. Okay?
So that, I thought that was a good sign.
So they all showed up for Westbrook is what you're saying.
They showed up for him. Number two. One of the lines that jumped out at me that he says over and over again throughout the movie, he says, I found myself in this role. He has a little imposter syndrome. He gets put in a role. Oh, my God, I'm drafted number 4 by the Sonics, and I'm playing with Kevin Durant. Don't mess it up. He just keeps saying, I don't want to mess it up. I don't want to be the reason why this doesn't work. He kept saying that over and over, and I was like, that's like the sixth time he said that. And I don't think it was meant to be a theme. I think he just says that a lot. But I guarantee you that is how he feels about this Laker team right now. I don't want to be the reason it doesn't work. I don't want to mess this up. This is really special. He doesn't appear to be coming into this like, okay, this is my team. I have something to prove. This is my shot. This is Russell Westbrook it's going to sound like a negative, but I don't mean it that way. This is Russell Westbrook on his best behavior, doing what needs to be done. I mean, at least that is his intention. And his behavior so far has been that. So I just think he's really excited. I mean, the reason why the Lakers all showed up for his premiere, Mace, he's from L.A. His friends and family were there. This was like a big deal for him. This is a homecoming year for Westbrook. This guy does not want to be the reason that this team doesn't work.
Right. Well, and LeBron said it's going to take a minute. You know, 14 of their first 17 games are at home.
Yeah, and they're pretty easy, too. There's a 5-game stretch where they play the Thunder a couple times, the Rockets. Like, they should win those 5 games in a row. The first 3 games will be tough, and then they have a little nice cruise control stretch. That's the part where if they can get on a roll, it'll really help them because they'll build some confidence and muscle memory.
All right, coming up next for you, Momo, you're a Raiders fan.
Yes.
I want to ask you about the Gruden situation.
Go for it.
Plus, is 2 hours and 47 minutes too long? I'll explain that coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.